Most people don't think of a blind person, you know, like yourself, to ride a horse. And I never thought of that myself, because I never thought I could trust an animal. And the last time I spoke to you, you were telling me that you trust an animal than human beings.
I do, yes. You know, in life, human beings often let you down and due to various circumstances. But you've probably heard the saying that a dog is a man's best friend. An animal will always stay loyal to you. And so many animals get abused and they still stay loyal to people, unbelievably. And this horse standing on my left here, Duval, my private horse, he has proven to me that with a little bit of love and care, you get so much reward back from him.
Were you born like this?
I was born premature. I was born with 0.5% vision in my left eye, 0% in my right eye. Unfortunately, the end of 2004, I lost that 0.5% in my left eye due to retina detachment. It was picked up too late and nothing could have been done about it. So now I'm literally, I wouldn't say in total darkness, I've got light and dark perception, if I can put it that way. For example, the sun or a very bright light, I can still detect whether it's on or off.
But how do you feel about the way you were saying people don't understand people living with disability? Do you think we understand? How do we treat you guys? Do you find people treating you like you're on a wheelchair sometimes?
It varies. A lot of people initially do treat me in various ways. They're not sure of the situation. They aren't familiar with a person with a disability. And they tend to either be a bit afraid to approach me, keep their distance, or they tend to be a bit over-helpful, like hold your hand and treat you as if you are in a wheelchair, as you put it.
But do you feel that way? Because I've been holding your hand, and sometimes I feel you kept on saying, no, it's okay, it's okay.
Yeah, it depends. I try to be independent, but also if I need somebody's help, for example, if I'm walking and I'm not sure of where I am, I would automatically grab your elbow, for example. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't bother me. You know, people won't know how to treat somebody if that person with a disability also doesn't help the sighted person from their side. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't expect you to know exactly how I do everything in life without you knowing me. So I've got to also assist you by saying, okay, I maybe feel more comfortable if I hold your elbow, yeah, or I'm comfortable walking on my own there. Yeah. So it comes from both parties.
Tell us about your career now.
Yes. I work for De Beers Diamond Mine. I'm in the IT division. I'm a SQL database administrator. I look after their database servers and make sure the backups are running, the archives are running, and also general maintenance tasks around database management, as well as writing scripts to pull reports of databases.
But you didn't take that as a setback at all? I mean, your disability as a setback or something that you worry and mourn about it?
No, not at all. I've actually taken it as a challenge. In fact, anything in life that's might pose a problem due to my lack of sight, I do not just draw away from it. I actually take it as a challenge. If it fails, oh well, toughs, then we try something else. It's like anything in life could be a disappointment or a success. So that's how I see it. Try it, and you'll only know later whether it's a success.
Your relationship with the horse, how long is it now? You've been together for some time. Understand the horse was abused and all that.
I've ridden Duval for approximately 9 months, with the first two months being sort of an irregular setup because he was not my private horse then. I've had him 7 months private. We actually lease, the private owners lease the horses from the farm staff on a monthly basis. And in doing so, you actually ride your own horse, you look after your own horse to a certain degree. You're allowed to feed your own horse and groom. The rest of the time, they graze with the rest of the herd in the fields. And in doing so, you build such a relationship with this animal. And as you can see, he's standing patiently next to me. Yeah. Our radio listeners won't be able to see him, but he's quite a nicely built, almost fat, although his ribs do stick out a little bit. He's a well-conditioned horse, as they would say in horse terms. that comes from love and care, and I must say I'm actually proud of how he's improved since I've taken him over.
Yeah, it is. I mean, for me, looking at the horse like this and yourself,
yeah.
Look, it's so big.
Yes. No, it is intimidating. You know?
It is.
A lot of sighted people that can see the physical size. I can feel his size. But I think people that can see and aren't used to horses, they get very intimidated about these big animals. But he is so gentle. I'm busy hugging him around the neck now.
There you go.
And he's just so chilled. He won't hurt you on purpose. The only time a horse will really hurt you, either if he's a stallion and he's after the mares and you get in the way, or if somebody gives a horse a fright and they really lose their mind, then they might hurt you in flight.
But how do you direct him? Like, for example, now you're riding this horse.
Yes, yes. This is interesting. This is very interesting. I started off by riding with the group, with a lot of people that ride regularly. Yeah. And I would follow the group. And as I got a bit more brave and I got to know my horse, I would overtake them and start cantering ahead a little bit. But this Mr. Duval on my left has a bit of a problem where sometimes he would stick to a path and then suddenly he would veer off the path. So it was a learning curve for me as well. If I feel he's going off the path or if the people from behind shout, okay, now he's going off the path, then I would have to pull him in. That's a horse term of slaying him down and then trying to get him back onto the path. Over time, I've learned which paths he tends to stick to and also which paths he tends to try and find his shortcuts. And in doing so, I've also been trying to train him that when he does it, he gets a tap with the crop and he gets told to find the path. And he's getting better every time. Mm-hmm. To such an extent that I've been taking him on my own out the farm, sometimes out towards into the game farm, which is towards the dam. And most times I take him out the farm on the sand roads that you drove in this morning with your car.
But does he take you around the farm? How does he know that you want to go to this direction or the other?
Come boy. He's basically, I've got to keep a mental map of the farm in my head. I don't know the whole farm. It's 600 hectares of wild, so you can imagine. I stick to the known path, the regular routes, to a certain degree if I'm on my own. And I've got to keep a physical map in my head of there we got a right-hand turn. And then, as you'll imagine, importantly, where the major trees are with the low branches. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And
how do you deal with that? That's my concern.
Twice in my riding at this farm, I've connected a tree and sustained minor injuries like scratches and stuff. And I don't let that stop me from riding. People say, no, it's dangerous. And no, you have to now and again. I mean, everybody falls. Everybody, you can be driving in your car and get killed in an accident. So you got to now and again take on a little bit of a challenge in life.
Mm-hmm. And now, Carl, enough about your personal experience and yourself. Tell us about the farm. This is huge. What do you guys do here?
This is a lovely farm. Besides the fact that I stay here in my own little rented cottage, which is my life. I always wanted to move out of the city, out of the townhouse complex where your neighbors don't consider you. I wanted to move to a place where you got the peace and quiet and the space and just where the quality of life counts. So I was fortunate enough to be able to obtain the accommodation here. But this farm is really, it's a piece of paradise just south of Johannesburg. 600 hectares of game. There's the various types of buck, vilebeus, zebra, and lots of bird life. And Stirrup Glen offers... Their main line of business is offering horse rides for the public. You can pitch up here any weekend day, Saturday or Sunday or public holiday. You pay 60 rand for an hour. You tell the staff what type of horse you require, whether you're a beginner rider, intermediate or advanced. And they will supply you with a horse according to your requirements, and you can also request whether you want a guide to actually ride out with you or if you want to go and explore the farm yourself. So it could be quite an adventure for anybody seeking a bit of a thrill as well as a nice sort of outing, and you are very, very likely to
see the view. I must say the view is fantastic, isn't it?
I can imagine. I believe it's amazing. And from my experience, there's often times that you get very close to the game. So it's really a worthwhile experience.
And you can come and stay here overnight, isn't it?
Yes, we offer overnight rides. 200 Rand gives you the opportunity to go for a two-hour horse ride, sort of mid-afternoon. Then you stay over at a sort of a log cabin overnight. You can have a braai, you can have a bit of a party if you want. And then the next morning, approximately 9 a.m., you go for another ride and end up back at the beginning where you left your car.
And for people who want to get hold of you and understand